if the opportunity came, I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a chunk out of it. I want a piece of that blade.
This is the last chance I'm going to get at designing a Hypershock for a toy, so it had to be perfect.
They knew that they couldn't really go weapon to weapon, so they went weapon to side of weapon.
We hit the jackpot in Vegas.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And continuing with my 2024 league previews, I couldn't forget about some of our folks out west. So I have Rob Farrow on with me to talk about the Seattle combat robot scene, as if you like couldn't tell by my background. So Rob, I know you've been on the show as part of a roundtable, but welcome back.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those that, you know, aren't super familiar with what you have going on out there in the Seattle area, first tell me a little bit about the league and everything you have going on and what that looks like, you know, generally speaking.
Yeah, so we're called Western Allied Robotics. Is the name of our league, club, organization, whatever you want to call it. We've been doing the robot combat for over 20 years. We're one of the longest sustained events, I think, around at this point. And we do, tiny 150 gram fairy weights up to 30 pound sportsmen. And we mostly do stuff in Washington State, but we have done things up in Vancouver and down in Oregon. We actually have an event coming up in Oregon. We're trying to branch out and to increase the radius of our events right now.
Well, that's great. I mean, I can see why it might maybe limited to those states and those areas, because I imagine with some of the other surrounding states like Montana, Idaho, population way wise, there's maybe not as many people, so it may be difficult to gain interest from, you know, those areas.
Yeah, there's definitely a density of interested people that you need in order to actually have an event. And you know, people will travel a few hours to compete. So we do have people from Eastern Washington and from Oregon coming up to our mostly Seattle area events. But yes, and there have been a couple of events out in like in Eastern Washington, out in Spokane, but it is hard to get a good event going if you don't have enough people around.
Now, your group is interesting because of the fact that it's been around for so long. I would say the majority of the leagues that I've talked to have been around for, you know, 3 to 5 years at this point, really kind of developing this surge when the pandemic happened and people were like, you know, I want something to do. And so a lot of people found their way to combat robotics. How has that ebb and flow looked like for you? Because of the fact that you've been around a while, I mean, did you also see a similar like surge in interest around that time, or has it stayed fairly like level?
So I mean, we've been doing it for 20 years, and I think it's largely followed the trend on the prevalence of robots on TV just kind of to generate general interest. Back in the early 2000s, when you know BattleBots was first on the show on the TV, that's when we started, and had a good amount of interest for a long time. And even when that show went off the air, we maintained our level of participation. We had, you know, events with, you know, 30, 40, 50 robots for probably about a decade. But then it started to kind of peter out a little bit. And part of it was just the public awareness of it as a thing to do. We had a lot of our events in pretty public spaces, which really helped kind of keep things going. And I think that's one of the reasons why we didn't die out, was that we had a lot of just general visibility in the community. But as soon as BattleBots went back on the air, you know, however many years ago that was, we saw a huge uptake in things again. And you know, even though it's been a little while since they've been having an event, we're basically at capacity with all our events right now. With our hobby show event that's coming up in April, we have over 100 bots registered. For our Portland event, which is in March, we're at like 35, 40 bots, which is actually more than we can handle given the space that we have. So we're in a good spot right now. We're hoping we can just keep up with the demand.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, it's nice to see the growth, but you also have to have the support to handle that kind of capacity as it grows. I mean, is that a challenge for you as much as it is for the other leagues, just to find volunteers to make sure that you have like the right equipment and the right staff on an event day to kind of get things running?
Yes, it's always a lot of work. There's another local event in Olympia having in February, which a high school teacher down in Olympia, Andrew, he has kind of gotten the bug, and he's actually hosting the event himself. So I'm not sure if it's technically part of Western Island Robotics or not. Doesn't matter. He's hosting it. We're actually going to bring one of our arenas down to do it. So it's been really nice having him take care of, you know, the organizing of that. So it's a lot of time and effort to find the venue, make sure you have people on hand to put up the arenas and to do the judging and do all the day of activities. That's sort of a limiting factor. If we are going to grow beyond where we are, I think we need another me or another somebody who will kind of step up and actually find the venues and do those things, because, you know, it's not a full-time job. It's just a fun, passionate thing that I do.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think for a large majority of people who are involved in combat robotics in one capacity or another, it's really about the passion and the love of doing it, which I think is such a wonderful part of the sport in general. Because if most of us didn't love it, then we wouldn't really like seeing our robots get blown to bits. So,
right. I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch. And then I think it takes a different mindset or a different, you know, feeling or a different approach to be an event organizer. I've competed. I'm not competing too much recently, but I've competed. I used to do really well. But to kind of step into the event organizers is a bunch of different things happen. You can be the best, you know, most competitive builder driver in the world and not really know how to put on an event, and vice versa. So we need to find a few more people who want to organize.
Yes, that is always needed. So especially, as I always say for people watching, if you think that is you, then definitely get a hold of your local organization and get involved, because the more help that we can get, I think the more we can do. Now for this year, is the April event the next one that you have coming, or is there anything happening prior to that?
So right now we have one in February, in like 2 weeks in Olympia. That's not technically Western Island Robotics, but it kind of is, because we're all kind of like, you know, together. Then after that in March, we'll be down in Portland doing an event there. And this is where, one of the competitors, Camden, who's been building for a while, actually scouted out the venue and found a good place to do it and did a lot of the legwork for us. So, you know, that was great. And then, that one's in March, and then April is the next, is our big one, is our hobby show in Monroe. And that's where we have three arenas running simultaneously, well over 100 bots competing. It's quite the show. And then a lot of people come to it because it's not just the robots. There's also drones and RC cars and planes and other stuff going on as well. So it's a fun show.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Now, I think we probably touched on this briefly in the roundtable interview, but the one interesting thing about the events that you have is the pit aspect of the arena. And that's, you know, not something that a lot of leagues have. What was the decision behind, you know, implementing that in the first place? And I mean, to me, I would think, especially for control bots, that may be like an attractive thing to go compete there because it gives, you know, gives you a different way to win.
Yeah. So we've been doing this for a long time, and you know, 20 plus years ago, most of the robots were made with hacked RC servos, and occasionally you get, you know, somebody modified an RC car toy to be their robot. Not super fast, not super exciting. They didn't hit super hard. So we added the pit to be just to add some dynamic, some excitement, some stress. So the audience actually loves it, especially when a bot starts getting pushed towards the pit. The anticipation of it, will it go in, will it not, really gets the crowd riled up. And it kind of stuck organizationally from there. So even as the robots became more powerful and faster and more destructive, the pits stayed. One thing about our pits is we try and make it so it's not so easy to just drive yourself in. So there's a metal lip around the edge of the arena, sorry, of the pit, all the way around it. So if you just drive into it, you're very unlikely to go in. You have to kind of really get pushed in. And that helps too. We actually are now considering modifying how our pits work. So currently they're open all the time. But with the added destruction of some of the robots, what happens is they launch themselves around the arena and they ping pong off the walls and they fall into the pit. And that kind of stinks for everybody for that to happen right away. So we are trying to figure out the best way to modify our pits. We have three of them, three different arenas, where the pit is sort of closed up for the first minute and a half of the match, and then it opens up. So that can make it a little more challenging for some of the control bots to, you know, do their thing right away. But I think it will increase the anticipation, increase that element of excitement, you know, to wait for it to open up. And then when it does, then all of a sudden this added danger comes to the match.
Yeah, I think that that's really exciting. It creates a dynamic that is unique, you know, as opposed to what a lot of others do. So, I mean, I'm all for it. As far as the, you know, the rest of the year for you, I definitely, you know, want to talk about the event running concurrently with RoboGames, because that isn't the norm for you. And, you know, I'm sure it has its advantages and disadvantages, but I think that it's really cool, probably more for the fans that want to attend the event and have the opportunity to kind of see, you know, a lot of different things instead of like just one event or the other.
Yeah, just to know a little bit of background, you know, I've been doing this for a long time and keep saying that over and over again. You know, for many, many years, people have wanted to have kind of a championship event or some sort of way to really kind of have the best bots meet together to battle it out. And, you know, after many years of just talking about it and not happening, I decided to make it happen. So last year, we started we're calling it the Robot Combat League National Championship. So we rank almost every event that happens in North America gets ranked. There's a few that choose not to because of their own reasons, and that's perfectly fine. Last year, there were 99 events that were ranked. This year, we're on track to hit 130 events. So we're seeing nice growth there. And because we started the event, we started it here in Seattle. So last year's event was in Seattle. Because it's a national thing, I don't want it to be just a Seattle event. So we people in Southern California worked hard to find a venue, and it kind of fell through at the last minute for a couple of reasons. It was going to come back to Seattle, but then we managed to find a partner with RoboGames, and we're going to have the national championship event, be a parallel event happening at the same venue as Robo Games is happening. Now, heavyweight robots, so the builders who come to compete also get to watch the big boys play. So that'll be a lot of fun for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think that it would, you know, I'm sure that there's some that may, you know, have feelings about it, but at the same time, like, I think that's great. I think it gives just numerous ways for people to get exposed to combat robotics and be able to see robots of all shapes and sizes and weight classes, kind of doing their thing. So I personally think that's pretty neat. Now, aside from just the events themselves, because I know I've talked to, you know, some of the event organizers about like different outreach and workshops and things like that. Is that something that you do out there as well, just to get people like interested and kind of get people to understand the basics if they want to compete?
We do some. It's hard to find a good venue for that. We do work with some local makerspaces who have other people who are currently doing robots. We have had some events there and have tried to do some basic robotic classes as part of the makerspace. And we're also trying to get some of the local schools who have robotics programs interested in doing 1 pound, either ant weight or plastic ant robot events. Those are much easier to contain and are starting to see some more interest there. So we're trying to do some of that growth, you know, that outreach to make sure other people know and can see the opportunities and have the fun. But at the same time, we're sort of at capacity with our events and so it's like, it would be great to have twice as many events, but we need more infrastructure to make that happen. So until that happens, we're kind of at our capacity.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Somebody needs to invent a cloning machine and then all will be solved.
yeah, exactly. And then, you know, because there's a lot that goes into it with just having an arena. You know, you have to be able to store it and transport it and maintain it. And, you know, all the stuff you need for the day of the event, that goes beyond the arena itself. It takes some preparation. You know, it's not rocket science. People can definitely do it. But I think it's kind of intimidating to make that leap. And we just need to get a few more people to say, yes, I can do it. Even if it's a small event with just, you know, 8, 10, 12 bots, you know, I'm going to do something. And that's a great way to get started.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now I'm curious from your perspective, because of the fact that you've been doing this for such a long time, over the course of the years, are there any really memorable like fights or, you know, robots that have competed in the league that you can recall? You know, I'm just curious because, I mean, I know there's definitely some, you know, pretty big names that have competed out there. So I'm sure that you have some stories.
Yeah. I mean, it's always the, you know, the people who sort of do it first are always sort of the interesting ones. We had a builder out here named Brent, who was one of the very first people to really get into brushless motors for both weapons and drivetrains. He wound his own brushless motors, and just the power and the speed of his robots was so much better than anybody else's. It was just completely memorable. And then out here, my co-conspirator, Rob Purdy, who has been helping with the events forever, I kind of give him credit for the inventing the fast magnetic driven bot. So, you know, like with Claw Viper and Kevin, you know, he sort of is the current person who is known for doing this and doing it so well. He kind of got his inspiration from another one of our local builders named Carrie, but he got his inspiration from Rob Purdy years ago. So it was, you know, when we used to watch videos of his robot Shag going around, people would tell us that it wasn't real, because at that point, you know, they weren't used to seeing a 12-pound robot basically just go from 0 to 10 miles per hour in a tenth of a second. It looked fake, right? So things like that are totally memorable. I don't know. Some things do stand out, but at the same time, it all kind of blurs together over time too.
Yeah, it's a lot of robot fights when you add it all up, for sure. Now, one other thing that I wanted to touch on, because I think it's such an important resource for everybody, is robotcombatevents.com. There's so many people that say, where's my local events? Like, how do I get started? And I think that is such a great resource for people to point them to and say, hey, here you go. Because there's times that I check it and I'm even like, I didn't even know that there was an event in that area. I think that that's just so important, so that people can kind of keep up with where the events are, whether they're just wanting to go to watch or whether they're wanting to go to compete.
Yeah, so the robotcombatevents.com site is mostly meant for event organizers and builders as a way to, you know, find events to compete in and to handle registration and to keep track of who's going and all those things. But we've also added a bunch of features to make it easier to find events. So, you know, of course, there's a search feature where you can search by location, as well as by date, and find your favorite robots and everything. And there's map views as well, where you can go and you can just say, well, I live in Tennessee. Well, it's close to me. You go to the map view and you can, you know, see, okay, how far away are the events, you know, coming up from where I am. So yeah, it's the site has grown a lot over the years. And I think last year we hit 1.5 million page views on it, which is pretty good for just a kind of a site that we just made to focus on the builders. And with the growth in events, like I said, last year there were 99. This year they're tracking on to be 130 for the league season. It's becoming a bigger and bigger thing.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Anything that can be done to give people more resources and information, I think, is extremely helpful. Aside from that, I mean, just that going to that site, is there anywhere else that people can go to follow Western Allied Robotics, and specifically like what the league is doing and what events you're having and things like that?
So I think the Robot Combat Events is probably the best place to go to find what events are actually happening. That seems to be the place that most event organizers use to just keep their people informed on what's going on. There is another good resource for anybody who's interested in kind of getting more into it. It's called robotcombatwiki.com. So it's a, you know, open wiki, community-based. So if you go out and you search the web, you're going to find, you know, a dozen getting started guides on how to do things. And Wiki is a good place because it kind of consolidates those and lists them out for you. So, you know, when Google doesn't always find what you need to find, you can go to the Wiki and you can find your dozen getting started guides, or your article on how to mix channels on your radio and how to deal with magnets on your robot and such. So that's a good resource for things too.
Yeah, that's a great point. I can't tell you how many times something has occurred and I'm like, I need to find out this information really quick. So any, you know, way that there's a resource you can do that is really helpful. And you know, as far as the league, I mean, is there anything else that you think that folks should know if they're interested either in attending events, competing, volunteering? I mean, any way that they want to, you know, come see y'all or get involved?
I think the community is super open and friendly to anybody who wants to help. So and you know, by helping, you don't have to like do anything massive. You could just kind of come and, you know, do a few things and watch the event and help out as you can. And then as you learn more, you might get into more details as far as like how to do safety inspections or how to do something, you know, a little more involved. But as a first step, I can't think of any event organizer that would turn somebody away who wants to kind of get involved, even if it's just up for a little bit. So I know sometimes reaching out first time, it can be a little intimidating, but I think that's once you get past that hump and once you kind of get there and you see them, you're going to find a welcoming crowd who really want you to enjoy it and to just get into the spirit of things however you can.
Yeah, I could not agree more. That's always been my experience, and I would say the experience of most people that I know. So, well, that's great. I unfortunately am pretty far away from the West Coast, but I'm excited to follow along with what is happening out there and seeing how things go, especially with the championship, because with that being kind of a newer adventure for y'all and including, like all of these events and things like that and seeing who ends up coming out on top. I think that's kind of a really neat thing to do. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out this year.
We're excited. It'll be streaming. And recorded so people can get to watch it and, enjoy the fights, even if they can't make it out to San Jose this year to do it. It's quite the experience. If you've never been to the Robo Games, it's a huge event. And then adding on our 130, 140 robots on top of all the stuff that Robo Games already does, it's just going to be, hundreds and hundreds of combat robots in the building all doing their thing. So it's going to be basically nonstop action.
Yes. Certainly going to Robo Games is a goal for me one day. So, at some point in the future, I'm sure that will happen. For anybody that's watching the show, please like, subscribe, comment, follow, all of those good things, to interact and engage and stuff like that. Keep supporting combat robotics wherever you are, because the more support that we have, the more that things will grow. And just keep following, and we'll see everybody next time on the show.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for having me.